Well, good morning. Welcome, welcome to the Prairie Village Church of Christ. We're so happy you're here. Got a lot of visitors here. We want you to know that that really thrills us. If you think enough to come and spend your time worshiping God with us, then we really appreciate you for the way that you view us. We want you to come back just as often as you can. You're welcome here. You're among friends. You're among people who are trying their best to serve God to the best of their ability, to follow the truth with everything that is within them, and we're glad that you're being a part of that. We sang the song, "Oh, How I Love Jesus." The song after the song we just sang, song 300, actually song 301, is "How Jesus Loves Us, Because He First Loved Me." Jesus did everything He did for us because He loved us so much, and I hope that what brings us here today to assemble together with brethren and friends and in the sight of God is just because we love Him so much. He gave His life for us so we could go to heaven one day. And He wants us to love Him back. He loved us that much. He wants us to love Him just as much as we possibly can as well. So what we do here today is in honor of our Savior. And let's keep that in mind when we're studying these things we're studying, when we're singing these songs, and when we're praying these prayers and taking the Lord's Supper. Let's think of how we're honoring Jesus the Christ for what He's done for us, showing Him how much we love Him. Go ahead and pick up your Bibles. We are going to read Psalm 15. The entirety of that psalm, all five verses of it, won't take us too long. That's page 528, if you got a pew Bible in your hands. Psalm 15. This is a psalm of David. We read there, "O Lord, who may dwell in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? He who walks with integrity and works righteousness and speaks truth in his heart. He does not slander with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend. In whose eyes a reprobate is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord. He swears to his own hurt and does not change. He does not put out his money at interest or usury, nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things will never be shaken." If I could talk to you about one word that could impact your life like no other word in this world, would you listen up to me? Would you listen to what I have to say? If I could tell you about one characteristic that if you added it to your life, it could bring you harmony with God and with yourself and with your neighbor, with your family and your friends, would you pay attention to that characteristic? If I could tell you more than a characteristic, a way of life, one way of life, that if you adhered to this, if you attempted to stick to this as closely as you could, it could allow you to dwell with God on His holy hill, to be with Him, to live with Him forever. Wouldn't you find value in a way of life like that? Wouldn't you want to know what that is? Wouldn't you just be champing at the bit for someone to tell you what that word is, what that characteristic is, what that way of life is? Well, here it is. I've got it for you, all summed up in one word. And that word is integrity. Integrity. The definition of that word, it means an impaired, unimpaired condition, the state of soundness, wholeness, completeness. And when it's applied to objects, when we read about it in the Old Testament, it's talking about things that are complete, things that are finished. But when it's applied to people, what it's talking about are people with moral and ethical soundness, moral and ethical health. Synonyms like upright is used in the Bible. A person who has moral integrity is a person who's described as upright. He walks upright before the Lord. You look it up in the dictionary, a synonym is honesty. An honest, trustworthy, truthful person is someone who has integrity. He takes a stand for the truth. He thinks the truth. He thinks truthful thoughts. He speaks truthful things. That's the way he lives his life. That's the way she lives her life. It's all about the truth. Now, what would be the opposite of integrity? I believe an opposite would be hypocrisy. What is hypocrisy? Hypocrisy is pretense. It's play acting. A hypocrite, long ago in faraway time, faraway place, was an actor under an assumed name. Back in the early days of acting, if someone called you a hypocrite, that was a good thing. That was a compliment. That meant that you were an actor. How many people in here would like to be an actor? A lot of people would like to be movie stars, but it had come to be associated with just a disingenuous person, someone who's dishonest. Now, the skill of good acting has always amazed me. Have you ever watched a show on TV, a drama on TV, and you're so convinced of the sincerity of the character that you see? Maybe it's this really beautiful woman or this really humble, honest-looking guy, and they have you eating out of the palm of their hand, and even the hero of the movie's falling into their trap, or the fall guy of the movie, and they turn out to just be a complete, deceptive, duplicitous monster. And that always makes you feel terrible. How could I have fallen for someone like that? But you think about it. What do actors do? They pretend to be someone they're not. They pretend to be something that they are not. I've often thought that it must be very difficult to be married to an actor or an actress. Because how would you ever know if they were pretending or being truthful with you? If they're really good at their skill, at their talent, how would you know? And I've even considered that maybe it would be difficult to be for a Christian to be an actor, or for a good actor to be a Christian, because they're skilled at the art of deception. I'm not saying that's impossible. It's just kind of an enigma to me. But someone with an integrity, with a person like that, what you see is absolutely what you get. His words match the way he lives his life. What she says and what she does, they just go hand in hand. He is a person, or she is a person, who's openly honest and forthright, makes no false claims, no false accusations, doesn't lie, steal, cheat. He's not deceptive in any way. I think of the apostle Nathanael there at the end of John, the first chapter, when Jesus saw him coming. Before he was an apostle, he looked at Nathanael and he said, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no deceit." He was just an honest, open book. Integrity is a broad term encompassing most of the most important qualities of the most worthy life, a person worthy of complete trust, a trustworthy person, somebody who can be trusted by their friends, by their family, by their neighbors, by their relatives, someone who can be trusted by themselves, someone who's not going to sabotage their own physical, spiritual, mental health and well-being, like a lot of people do quite often. But look, most importantly, above all else, someone who can be trusted by God. A person's integrity really does those things. Did you know that? Or a lack thereof. It affects every relationship you have in your life. Your relationship with your family, with your friends, your relationship with yourself, your relationship with your God. It affects these things, and there's no way to escape the truth of that. Let's talk about for a few moments, how our integrity, our lack of integrity, affects our relationships. What about our relationship with God? Proverbs 15:1 says, the psalmist wrote, "Who may abide in God's tent or dwell on His holy hill?" That's just asking, who can be with God? Who can hang out with God? Who can have a relationship with Him? Well, only a person who has integrity. Only a person who walks righteously, it says, who speaks the truth, who thinks the truth in his heart, speaks it in his heart, and then speaks it with his tongue. Someone who doesn't slander other people. Someone who doesn't put their money to interest. Or he doesn't take a bribe. What it's saying is that a guy who doesn't rip people off. He's honest in word. She's honest in word or thought and in their dealings with other people. You cannot have a relationship with God if you're not a person of integrity. You have to be honest. You have to be trustworthy. You have to be upright and upstanding. Let me ask you a question. A show of hands. How many people in the audience today have ever lied? I appreciate your honesty for having done that. We all have. Look, we've all lied. That's not what we're talking about here. Are you a person of integrity is the question you really need to answer today. One who loves the truth and hates falsehood, hates every false way. Not somebody who's never lied. Not somebody who's never messed up. Look, I'm not telling you if you've ever lied in your life, you've sunk. We've all done that. But what does a person of integrity do? Think about King David. He was a person of integrity. He was described as a man after God's own heart. But when he realized that he had lived falsely and spoken falsely and done wrong, what did he do? He admitted it. He repented of it. And then he changed to please God. Psalm 5 and verse 6, and this is a psalm of David. The psalmist himself wrote, "You destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the man of bloodshed and deceit." He knew, David knew that God hated falsehood and deceit, deception. And David himself hated those things, even when he was participating in those things, even when he was caught up in those things, when it was brought to his attention. He hated that he had done that. It broke his heart that he had done that. He was a person of integrity. And a person of integrity admits when they do wrong, when they lie, when they get caught up in that. And they turn away from that. But here's why it's so important to be the kind of person that God views as a truthful person of integrity. It's so important because we read in Psalm 65 and verse 16, or Isaiah 65 and 16, "Because he who is blessed in the earth will be blessed by the God of truth. And he who swears in the earth will swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten, and because they are hidden from my sight." Our God, the God we serve, the God we should be serving, is the God of truth. He tells no lies. He makes no deception. There's no dishonesty within him whatsoever. He is pure. He is holy. He is righteous in every single way. If you're going to be holy like he is holy, like the Bible tells us to do in several places, then you have to love truth and you have to hate lying, hate every false way. Titus 1, 2, Hebrews 6, 18 tells us God cannot lie. It is impossible for God to lie. Now we talk about how all things are possible with God. We talked about that this morning in Bible class. If you missed this morning's Bible class, you missed a really good one. I encourage you to come as often as you can at 9:30. But Randy prayed, and for folks who were suffering, he said, "All things are possible with you." And that's a good and appropriate prayer. But what we understand when we say all things are possible in God is that we understand that with God is that we're saying he's all powerful. But there are some things that he cannot possibly do. He cannot possibly go against his own will. He cannot possibly tempt you with sin. He cannot possibly sin himself. He cannot possibly lie. It's impossible for God to lie. God is truth. And if we want to be his child, we have to be truthful people. If we want to be his children, we ought to follow his example. We ought to be like he is. Now you think about this. What does Jesus say in John chapter 8 and verse 44 about the devil? You know that passage, right? It says, "Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies." God is the truth, the father of truth. The devil is a liar and the father of lies. It's your choice whose son or whose daughter you're going to be. You know that? You have to choose to follow one of those two. You're going to choose to follow Satan and be his son or daughter, or God and be his son or daughter. If you're going to follow God, you have to be a person of integrity. You heard the old phrase used before, right? You can fool some of the people all the time, and all the people some of the time, but you can't fool God any of the time. God is the truth. He knows the truth. He knows when you're telling the truth. He knows when you're telling a lie. And you can fool your family and your friends into thinking you're following him, but he knows. So we have to be about the truth. Now, what did Jesus say about the scribes and the Pharisees? Remember how he rebuked them so harshly? What did he say about them? What was his major complaint about them? They were hypocrites. He scathingly rebuked them because of their hypocrisy. They put on a pious show for everyone else to see. On the outside, they looked like these just religious, holy guys. But inside, they were corrupt. They were dishonest. They were unwilling to practice what they preached. God sees right into the heart of people. Did you know that? He can look right into your heart and see exactly who you are. And listen, when the heart is bad, the soul is lost. There's just no way around that, people. When the heart is bad, you have no relationship with God. You've got to be truthful all the way with God. You have to think the truth. You have to speak truth in your own heart. You have to talk truthfully. You have to practice truth. All the way down to worship. What did Jesus say in John 4:24 to the woman at the well there in Samaria? He said, "God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." We even have to worship God according to truth. God is all about truth, and He's not going to accept any false way. And we just have to be aware of that. We have to understand that. Well, our integrity or our lack of integrity also affects our relationship with ourself. Did you know that? Have you ever stopped and considered the fact that you actually have a relationship with yourself? How do you treat yourself? What do you think about yourself? Those things are important. It can be determined what kind of person you are, that you grow up to be, that you turn out to be. Well, verse 2 of Psalm 15 says, "The one who walks with integrity and speaks truth in his own heart." This is the person who can dwell with God. How do you speak to yourself in your own heart? When you're just sitting around thinking about things, what do you think about? That's where it all starts, isn't it? Our actions, our words, the way we live our life, it's all formed by the things that we think, right? Jesus said as much in Matthew chapter 15, verses 18 and 19. "But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart. And those defile the man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses," lies, folks, that's what that's talking about there, "slanders." What do we say? If the heart is bad, the soul is lost. If the heart is bad, the thoughts are wrong. If the heart is bad, we're going to have a bad relationship with ourselves. We're going to be thinking the wrong kind of thoughts. We'll never be at peace with ourselves. We'll never live in harmony with God and others or with ourselves. We must get our heart right. And that process can only begin, listen, that process can only begin when we're truthful with ourselves. You can't clean your heart up if you refuse to admit to yourself that you have problems. We'll never make the changes or improvements that we need to make in our life if we don't face up to some cold, hard facts. If we don't clean out the heart, then we're always going to have problems in our heart. But look, we have to admit we have heart problems. Maybe some today have problems with lust. That's a common problem. A lot of people have that. You've got to admit it before you can ever combat it, confront it, and do something about it. Maybe you have a problem with greed or envy. Maybe you're jealous of other people. Maybe you gossip. It all starts from inside. Gossip starts from the heart, the way we think in our mind. Maybe you're addicted to some substance. Maybe you drink alcohol or do drugs or whatever the case may be. If you don't admit it to yourself, if you're not truthful to yourself, some things are never going to happen that need to take place. You're never going to seek help from other people, because look, if you're struggling with some things, you need help from other people. You're never going to admit it to God, to ask His forgiveness and His help. And you're never going to have someone hold you accountable to do the right things. And it all starts with just admitting it to yourself. Some people become so accustomed with lying that it just becomes second nature to them. They begin to believe their own lies. Have you ever known someone like that? They just lie so much that they fall for it themselves. Look, we can fool ourselves. We really can. We got to be careful about that. But what that really can be a symptom of is a seared conscience. Just a scab crusted over dead conscience. 1 Timothy 4:2 says, "By means of hypocrisy of liars who are seared in their own conscience, as with a branding iron." Some people lie so much they just burn up their own conscience and it doesn't work anymore. I hope that's not the case with anyone here today. Maybe, if you're struggling with some of these things, maybe your conscience is just buried under some lies. Maybe your conscience is just turned off. Did you know that thing has an off-on switch where you can turn it off and on? People have done that. King David did that, right? He turned his conscience off when he went and committed that sin with Bathsheba and killed her husband and did all those things. This was a righteous man. He turned his conscience off. He buried it. You got to turn that thing back on. You got to dig that thing back up and expose it so God can bless you. God blessed you with a conscience. Did you know that? That's the reason why He gave that conscience to you. That's a gift that He gave to you. And He gave that to you to help keep your heart and your words and your life in check. Use it. Use your conscience. Don't destroy it. Pearl Bailey an actor from and singer from a long time ago said, "You will never find yourself until you face the truth." And those words are so true. If you never face the truth, you're always going to be living a lie, and you're not going to be who you really are, who God wants you to be, who you're supposed to be. Well, also, the manner of our integrity, or lack thereof, also affects our relationship with other people. Verse 3 of Psalm 15 says that the man of integrity, he does no evil to his neighbor. He doesn't take up a reproach against his friend. He doesn't rip people off. Listen, if you aren't a person of integrity, somebody who tells the truth, who is about the truth, you are never going to have healthy relationships in your life. Did you know that? Never. Not with your friends, not with your husband, not with your wife, your future husband, your future wife, not with your children. You'll never have good, healthy relationships if you're not a truthful person. You know who you end up having relationships with? Other people who have little or no integrity. And those are not the people you want to hang around with. Those are not the people who are going to be able to help you. That's never healthy. That's always hurtful. You don't want to become a member of the Liars Club, folks. You'll always be looking over your shoulders or peeking around corners to make sure that somebody's not doing something to deceive you and stab you in the back if that's the way you live your life. You'll always be paranoid. But look, you have to be truthful with other people if you want them to respect you and have a deep, meaningful contact and relationship with you. You know how we said you can fool some of the people all the time and all the people some of the time? You're not going to be able to fool anyone for very long. Proverbs 10 and 9 says, "He who walks in integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his way will be found out." Mark it down. Make a note of it. I guarantee it. If you're a person who lies and a deceitful person tries to pull the wool over people's eyes, it will find you out. That will eventually be revealed. Even the great and awesome philosopher Elvis Presley said, "The truth is a lot like the sun. It may not come out for a while, but it's never going away. It ain't going nowhere. The sun always comes back out. It may hide behind the clouds for days and weeks." We've seen that recently, right? But it's out with a vengeance right now, isn't it? Scorching the ground. The truth is like that. You can bury it. You can hide it behind things. You can tuck it away in a corner somewhere and people might not see it, but it's coming out. It's eventually going to come out. Make note of it, folks. Your sin will find you out. And if you're lying to people, the people you love, the people who love you, they will find out. And what's going to happen when they do? You're just going to kill their trust. They're not going to feel like they're going to be able to trust you anymore. They're not going to take you seriously any longer. They're not going to want to have a good relationship with you because they're not going to feel like they can. It's so important just to be truthful with people. I have seen a man or a woman or a boy and a girl just find that perfect person. You ever dream of having that perfect person? Maybe you have them. That perfect boyfriend or girlfriend or that perfect husband or wife. We all want that. We want love. I've seen people find that person and then deceive them, just lie to them, some silly, frivolous little lie that it didn't do them any good. There was no justification for it whatsoever. It would have just been better to tell the truth. And what happened was it cost them the best thing they ever had in their life. I've seen people walk away from relationships because of one lie. It's not worth it. It's not worth it to lie to the people that you love or the people that you want to love or the people that you want to love you. The best thing you can ever do for yourself, for your loved ones, is just be honest. Tell the truth and be all about the truth. Proverbs 23 and verse 23 says, "Buy the truth and do not sell it." Why is that? Why would God impress upon us that the need to buy the truth and sell it not? It's just so valuable. It's invaluable. You can't put a price tag on it. It's just worth more than any amount of money you could ever think of. What are you willing to do? Or what would you be willing to do for $10 million? I want you to know that question was given to some folks in a study that was taken, a poll that was taken, that same question. And I want you to know what some people would consider doing, would do, if someone would give them $10 million. 25% of the people polled said they would abandon their entire family. They'd just leave their husband or wife and children for $10 million. 25% said they would leave the church. It's worth losing their soul. $10 million is the price tag of their soul. 23% of the people polled said they would prostitute their bodies for $10 million. No amount of money on earth is worth any of those things, folks. No amount of money on earth. Proverbs 19:1 says, "Better is a poor man who walks in his integrity than he who is perverse in speech and is a fool." You know what he's saying there? It's better to be an honest beggar than to be a rich fool. It's better to be an honest and poor person than a dishonest and rich and lost person. You ever heard someone make the statement that everybody has their price? Everybody has their price. You can put a price tag on anybody. You offer somebody enough money, you can get them to do anything you want them to do. Well, everybody has their price, but the man or the woman of integrity, they just don't. Because they know that God, His will for them is more valuable than any amount of money that anybody could give them. The person who walks in integrity understands that his relationship with his God is more important than any amount of money. His good name is more valuable than any amount of money. Proverbs 22 and verse 1, "A good name is to be more desired than great wealth. Favor is better than silver and gold." Proverbs 11, 3 through 6, "The integrity of the upright will guide them, but the crookedness of the treacherous will destroy them. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. The righteousness of the blameless will smooth his way, but the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright will deliver them, but the treacherous will be caught by their own greed." What's the moral of the story, people? It's always best to be a person of integrity. I love what David wrote under inspiration of the Holy Spirit in Proverbs 15 and verse 4. That verse there, verse 4, when he talked about that person of integrity, he said there that he swears to his own hurt and does not change. That's not easy. You know that? To make a vow and to stick to it so earnestly and strictly and truthfully that even if it hurts you, you're going to do it anyway. A person of integrity is a man or a woman of his word, is a man or a woman of honesty, even if they're going to be harmed by being that way. If you agree to a business deal, if you're a person of integrity, and a better business deal comes down the line, you get a better offer somewhere else, it doesn't matter. You're going to stick to the agreement. You're going to stick to the contract. You're going to honor that which you vowed. You're going to follow through. You tell the truth, even if you know you're going to suffer from doing so. Stories told of this family who had a cabin in the woods. And the young boy in this family hated going to that cabin. His family spent a lot of time there, but one of the sons just hated that cabin because at that cabin, there was no bathroom in the cabin. Had to go to an outhouse to use the restroom. Anybody ever had to do that? Yeah? And he hated it because it was just always hot in the summer and it was always cold in the winter. And you can imagine what it always smelled like. He hated that outhouse. So one day when he and his father were at the cabin, it rained a lot. And the rain came up so high that it caused the creek to swell and rise right up to where that outhouse was. And he said, "You know what I'm going to do?" to himself. "I'm going to push that outhouse into the creek. So tired of that thing." So he barreled down and mustered up all his strength and he tried his best to topple that outhouse over, and he finally mustered up the strength to do it, and there it went, splash, right into the water, and it just drifted away, and he was so proud of himself. When he got home later that night, his father said, "Son, we've had a problem with the outhouse. It seems someone has knocked it into the creek." He said, "Now tell me the truth. Were you the one who did it?" And he said, "Father, I cannot tell a lie. I am the one who pushed the outhouse into the creek. And his father said, okay, I'm going to have to go get my belt, and I'm going to have to tan your hide because of that, because that was the wrong thing to do. So, wait a minute, Father, we learned in school even about when George Washington was a kid, and he chopped down the cherry tree, he was honest about it, and he didn't get in trouble. And his father said, well, that may be true, but George Washington's father wasn't in that cherry tree. And if you don't get it yet, that means that boy's father was in that outhouse when he pushed it into the creek. And he took his beating for that. The moral of the story is, you tell the truth, even if it hurts you. Even if you have to take a whipping for it. Even if it hurts you financially. Because look, you're always going to be in good standing with the God of heaven when you tell the truth, even when it hurts. There have been times in my life when faced with the prospect of telling the truth and suffering the consequences, I have faced the music and taken my medicine. And there have been other times in my life when I have dodged that. I've buckled under the pressure and I've lied. I'm going to tell you from personal experience, it's always best just to go ahead and tell the truth. You can sleep easier at night when you do that. You won't have to worry about covering your tracks. You won't have to worry about inventing more stories and telling more lies to cover up the original lie. You don't have to worry about other people seeing you and knowing that you did wrong. But most importantly, you don't have to worry about God seeing you, because He knows already, and it's always best to tell the truth. In his book called Integrity, this man, Ted Engstrom, told the story of a Georgia high school basketball coach named Cleveland Stroud. And his team won the state championship, the boys' basketball championship, one year. And look, that's the dream of any coach, just to win the big prize, the championship. And he had to end up forfeiting that title and giving that trophy back. Do you know that? He lost that coveted trophy. Because it turns out that one of the players who played on his team, who played for 45 seconds in the very first game of that tournament, was academically ineligible. Now, he didn't know that at the time, but later he found out. Instead of hiding it, he told the truth. He reported it to whoever you report that to, whatever commission that is. And even though it was just a 45-second time frame, and even though it was an insignificant player who really didn't contribute anything to the game, he told the truth about that. And here's what he said about why he did that. He said, you've got to do what's honest and right and what the rule says. I told my team that people forget the scores of basketball games, but they don't ever forget what you're made of. Isn't that the truth? People forget champions and scores and trophies, but your reputation is going to stick with you forever. Make it a good one. Einstein said, Albert Einstein, whoever is careless with the truth in small matters cannot be trusted with important matters. Now that Albert Einstein was one smart fella. But you know, all he was doing was paraphrasing what Jesus said in Luke 16 and verse 10 when he said, he who is faithful in a very little thing will also be faithful in much. That Einstein was no Jesus. And what Jesus is telling us is, you be truthful and faithful with everything you do in your life. The smallest little detail, whether it's a 45-second clip of a player in a ball game or something that we might consider huge and something that is very consequential. It's all significant to God, the little details and the big ones. And if we're faithful and truthful with the little things, folks, we're going to get the major things in our lives right. Let me give you a few pointers, a few tips for pulling off this integrity thing, and then we'll be done, okay? Just a few keys to being a person of integrity. If you're a person who writes things down, go ahead and get out your notebook and your pen. And this will help you, I think. First of all, I want you to write Colossians 3:23 down. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men. If everything you do and everything you say, if you're doing that, understanding that the Lord is watching and He knows what you're doing, and you're doing it for Him or saying it for Him and not for them, you will always find that you're doing and saying the right things. Did you know that? So whatever you're doing or saying, just make sure it's for the Lord. Ultimately, even if you're helping or talking to someone else out or helping someone else out immediately, always be thinking about the Lord, no matter what you do. Think before you speak. That's so big. Be careful about the things you say. Give consideration to the words that you speak. Then you won't have to worry about covering them up later. A lot of times we do that, right? We shoot before we aim. We speak before we think. And we're going to do that sometimes. I still do that way too often. It's always better to give consideration to the things you're going to say before you say them. And this is a big one, folks. Don't make promises you don't think you can keep. I'll take another poll. Anybody ever made a promise that they didn't keep? That would probably be all of us if you've lived long enough. Jessica's thinking over there. I bet you have. We do that. That's why it's so important to really think hard about whether you can keep a promise before you make it. Listen, even if it's, I think I'll be able to do this, or maybe, if you're, especially if you're saying that to a young person, what does maybe or I think mean to a young person? It means I promise, doesn't it? So be very careful about the promises you make. And listen, folks, learn to say no sometimes. Anybody here have a hard time saying no to people when they ask you to do something? Yeah? I know. That's a good quality. We want to help people. We want to do good things for people. But if you always say yes, what are you going to do sometimes? You had to break your promise. If you need to say no sometimes, say no. And just be honest about it. And look, if you don't know the answer, don't make one up. If someone asks you a question and you're not sure of the answer, tell them you don't know. Instead of telling them something that may or may not be truth and punt it off as the truth, and later on you have to go and take that word back, take your story back, change your story. Just, if you don't know the answer, say you don't know. And then finally, Ephesians 4:15. Folks, this is so important to being a person of integrity, okay? Ephesians 4:15, speak the truth in love. It's not just about being a truthful person. I know some people who are truthful and they're brutally truthful. They're mean-spirited in their truthfulness. Always speak the truth in love, because look, honesty without charity is worthless. Truth without love, it just doesn't amount to anything. You can go ahead and pick up your songbooks. We're going to sing number 613, song of invitation, encouragement for you to obey the gospel this morning. There are the steps of the plan of salvation right up there on the screen above my head. Not my plan. That's God's plan, folks. That's the truth. People will tell you other ways, their own inventions, their own ideas of what you need to do to be saved. Here's what God says. You hear His word and you believe it. You repent of your sins. You turn from them. You confess Jesus, your belief that He's the Christ, and then you're baptized in order to have your sins forgiven. Folks, that's God's way. That's the truth. Are you ready to be a person of the truth, a person of integrity, a person who follows the truth? Let me tell you something about people of integrity. He talks about how it's going to help your relationships with others. Some people will hate you just because you're a person of integrity. Did you know that? Proverbs 29:10 says, men of bloodshed hate the blameless. They hate people of integrity. There are some despicable people out there who are going to look at your truthfulness as an affront to them. That if you're not willing to be dishonest and crooked as they are, that you're offending them. You're calling them names. They feel threatened. Let me tell you this. That's their problem. Don't you worry about them. They have to deal with that. I want you to know they did the same thing to our Lord Jesus Christ. He was a man of integrity. The Pharisees knew it, and they set him up anyway. Some people have had to die for the truth. Let me tell you, that's the thing worth dying over. If you're doing it for the Lord. You ready to be a person of the truth? Ready to be baptized, to have your sins forgiven, to follow God in faithfulness and truth for the rest of your life, all the way to the end of your life? That's what He wants. And if we can help you do that this morning, we stand ready to do that. Won't you come up here and talk to me about your needs while we're standing and singing?